and welcome to another edition of Visions with me, your host, Udalee Wickham-Ashby. And today, as we celebrate mothers around the world on this Mother's Day, I am deeply honored to have in the studio with me my special guest, Anne-Marie Johnson. Anne-Marie is a young lady who has a son with a severe disability. And today we'll talk about her joys and pain, her ups and her downs, all on the journey of life as she walks with her son. Welcome to the program, Anne-Marie.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, Anne-Marie, let's start by learning a little about who you are. Tell us a little about Anne-Marie Johnson.
Well, first of all, I am a young mother. I would say I'm still young because I'm only 35. I have one son who has severe epilepsy, and I am a dedicated mother, I would say, because I put everything I have into taking care of him and providing for him in every way.
Okay, so can you share how you felt upon learning about your son's epilepsy? Was it instant at birth, or did you find out later?
I actually found out that he had epilepsy the first day of his birth, the same day he was born. He had had a series of seizures right after birth, and they're not sure, but they believe he had some the 24 hours before birth, and that caused him to have to be put into the ICU for the intensive care unit for a little while. It was not easy, honestly, because I felt like I had did everything right coming up to the day of his birth. I ate right. I exercised. I cut out fast food. I believe that I did everything right, that I would have had a great delivery and that everything would have gone smooth throughout my pregnancy. So for me to find out on the day of his birth that he was experiencing seizures, up to 25 seizures within an hour, it was hard for me. I actually began to cry, and it was a very emotional time, because during the period of the seizures, you could actually see him turning blue because he was losing oxygen to his brain. So it was very, very difficult, and it was hard to deal with. I cried the whole weekend, because he was born on a Saturday, and I cried that whole weekend, because everyone that had a baby with me that weekend was able to hold their child, but here I was on a ward with mothers, and my baby was someplace totally different to where I was. So it was very hard.
Okay, so how old is your son now?
He is 12, but he will be 13 in July.
Okay. What is his condition like now? How has the seizures affected him?
Well, over the years, they have gotten very severe. Right now, he takes 3 types of medication to help control various different types of seizures. And he has not been able to attend school because of this. Every class he has is online because he's not able to go to school like normal children will. He has an issue with getting excited. He can't be excited. He can't walk too far. So things that normal children would do, it is hard for him to do at this time. His daily routine is very limited. And if he does do any schoolwork, you have to take breaks in between his work, just not to overwork his brain.
Okay, so when you think of having to control his emotions like this, cannot get too excited and so on, in terms of researching and speaking with the doctors or psychologists about helping your son to, one, control his emotions and at the same time be in a position to experience regular emotions, what have you learned, or what have you been able to gather from medical personnel?
Honestly, most of the information gathered on how to control his emotions, I actually did research on, because although he's been having seizures all his life, sometimes when we go to the doctor, when I speak of something, it comes as something new. So I normally just research stuff and find the best ways to deal with the situation. Sometimes it works, sometimes it don't. So it's still a learning process for me, and even for some of his doctors, because his condition is so different. You know, the doctor always tell me to allow him to experience things that children his age would experience the same way, but just do it in a different way that he will not be too excited. So for instance, like if we're going to have a birthday party for him, he knows he's having a birthday party. It's never a surprise. If we're going to go to something like AgriFest, even if he's going with his school, because before he still needs to take part in school events, although he was home, he would be still invited to go on tours and field trips, whatever they're going on. So we will sit him down like a whole month before. If we know that far down the road, we will tell him like a whole month before, and we will keep saying it every week that once the day comes, he's not overexcited. He'll be prepared.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So now let's talk about his education. What has that journey been like for you in ensuring that he does have a solid education?
Well, to be honest, the transition from him going to school to him being home, because he was home, this year we made 6 years that he was home from school, it has been difficult. I have tried on more than one occasion to put him into homeschooling, but I was not successful with that. For the main fact that although he has his challenges, he's very verbal and he knows stuff. So what we have done before he was doing the online schooling with his current school, we actually used to take him on the field trips as a family. If we know like February is AgriFest month, we will take him to the zoo. We will do things as a family with him that he will still have the experiences that children his age will have. And I would sit down and research, because obviously, although he is 12, he still has the mind of a younger child, and he learns at a slower pace, but he picks up certain things if he's constantly hearing them. So we have come to a place where we create our own learning system for him, that although he's home, he's still receiving some form of education. But as I said, no, he is actually doing the online schooling program with his school. So his teacher puts the work inside his classroom and he does it. But I will also say, because of his condition, his sleep patterns sometimes are really bad. So when he should be up in the day to log into school, he's actually asleep. So sometimes he does his work in the night instead of the day.
Well, this is indeed good news, because I'm sure that there are other parents who may be struggling with having their children educated and are encountering some of the same challenges and may not be finding the right solution. So I thank you for searching out and working to find solutions to help have your son educated. Now, Amarie, you say we. So let's hear who are we that are giving you some support on this journey as well.
Well, my support system is my whole family, to be honest. My mom, she helps with everything, especially her, because she lives with us. And my husband, my stepdad. My brother, he doesn't live here, but he also comes over. And if there's anything that we need, he assists. My aunts as well, his godparents. So he has a whole support system, and they help with all the day-to-day things to do with him. If he has a doctor appointment, there's someone to take him. You know, everything that needs to be done for him, there's someone there to assist in some way.
Wonderful. Now, I remember, Anne-Marie, several years ago when I first met you, you were working. Are you still working?
I am actually not. 7 years ago, I had to give up my job. Actually, when you met me, I was in the process of leaving my job at the time because he was really ill that year. And it was a lot. My mom was the person taking care of him at the time, and she's in her 60s. So it was a lot on her because although he at that time, he was much younger, he was big. He was actually like 130 pounds. So it was a lot for him. Like, if he going to a seizure, for her to get him to move him from one place to another. So I made the decision to give up my job, to come home to take care of him. And that was it from there.
And how has that been like for you? What has that really been like for you? Just home, has it created a financial strain on the family?
Honestly, it has. Because, especially for me, it was really hard because I was accustomed to being independent and doing everything for myself to somewhat extent. So making the transition from being a working woman to just being home was hard. But whereas where finances was for him, my mom has always been there for me financially when it comes to him. So she made sure that he was okay. But for myself, no, it was very emotional time. And sometimes it felt like a lot because I was home and there wasn't nothing to do. And I felt like if I was in a place, I know how to start all over. And then there were this whole thing whereas people just think that I should have put him in a home, which was hard for me to be hearing people saying, why you just didn't put him in a home? Why you give up your job? Why you could put him in a home and go and look for him all weekend? And that was hard hearing that coming from people. You know, telling me to just like put my child in a home and leave him there. So it was a hard transition for me, but I grew through it. I am not where I want to be now, but I'm getting there.
Wonderful. But I think, Anne-Marie, and I really appreciate your candidness in sharing your feelings about transitioning from being a working mom into a home person where you're now caring for your son and providing the necessary support that he requires as he grows as well. And I really want to salute you for that and say I appreciate the type of decisions you made to help in your son's development.
Thank you.
Now, as we look at you moving into a new space, caring for your son, and I really want to pick up on the point you made about persons suggesting to you to place your son in an institution and how you felt about that. Now, I want to explore that a little more. You're a young woman. You have a young son. And God willing, you both will age. What thoughts or plans have you been thinking of putting in place for your son in preparing for him to, you know, remain in the world and survive in the world should you not be around anymore? I know this is one of the difficult areas that parents have to deal with. They may not have the finances or the financial support to say, I'm going to leave a trust fund to care for my son, or I'm going to set up this type of insurance policy that my daughter, when I pass, will have, you know, finances to help adequately care for her. How are you feeling around this whole subject area?
This subject is a very, this subject is really hard for me because I also have diabetes. And to have insurance, to leave something for him it's hard because of my situation to start. So it's something that I think about all the time. What's going to happen if something happened to me? What's going to happen to him? And I say all the time that for parents of children with disability, we often worry about us leaving our children behind because we know that even if someone cares for them, they're not going to care for them like us. And I try not to think about it, but I always try to find ways to put things in place that if something should happen to me, that he's taken care of, to be honest. Right now, I have nothing in place, but it's something that I speak of all the time, and I explore different avenues. But I know for sure, whereas in terms of insurance, it's not possible, which I believe that there should be something that you can do as a parent of a child with a disability. Whereas insurance are some sort of, we will say, not really national insurance, but some sort of
income.
A fund coming for that child. If you should die or something should happen to you that you cannot take care of this child anymore. Because I believe that even if someone else decides, you know what, I love this child and I will take care of this child for the person when they pass, it is not easy. It is never easy taking care of a child with challenges. That's the honest to God truth. It is very expensive. And I tell people, if you do not have the financial support, and if you are not receiving some sort of fund, sometimes you find it hard to meet the ends of taking care of these children. Some of these children require a special diet. Some of these children require medication that might not be even in the drug formula book, and you have to pay for it. Some of these children require to wear pampers. And there are lots of little things that you need for these kids. So I always think about it. If something happens to me, what will happen to him? I don't have anything in place, but it's something that I definitely look into because I believe it's very important.
Well, I believe it is essential. It's vital. And sometimes when I read information from other countries where they share on programs and various initiatives they have put in place for parents with children, particularly those with moderate to severe disabilities, you know, it is bothersome that we don't have many outlets here in Barbados to really support parents with children with disabilities financially. I think we probably need to do some serious advocacy to the insurance companies around this whole area. So, Anne-Marie, as we look around and we see some of the discrimination and the stigma attached to persons with disabilities, and by extension, the parents and the caregivers sometimes, what are your thoughts in terms of how can we improve the situation here in Barbados?
I think we have already started to go in the right direction. This year, there have been very much activities, both on the television and, you know, things from NTI and other establishments that have been putting up numerous things about persons with disability, educating the public of what a disability is. And I think that's the right direction that we're going in. We need to educate the community, educate people about disability, the different types of disability, how you can help someone that has a disability. Because I believe the stigma of around the disability has not been a good one for a long time. And I have experienced it with my son. He does not have a visible disability. Sometimes he walks and he walks slow, but you can't tell that he has a disability. But there was a point in time where as he didn't want to go certain places because he believed people would laugh at him when he going to a seizure. And I always used to say that even parents, because even at school, before he was into a special unit, he was going to a normal school till he got his placement. And even at school, children would fret him when he going to a seizure because to them, it was something to laugh at. They did not understand. And I believe that parents And even in schools, children should be educated about these things so that they will understand that a person with a disability is not someone I should withdraw from, or someone I should scorn, or someone I should laugh at. But this person is someone that if they need a helping hand, I should go help them. I should try to be this person's friend, make them feel as normal as I feel. And I believe that from what I have been seeing this year, that a lot of companies and organizations are trying to show the world that disability is not nothing to be afraid of, or nothing to scorn, but these people are actually people just like me and you. And believe it or not, a person with a disability is one of the most loving persons you will ever meet. They are very loving. And when you get to know them, you will see that for yourself.
Anne-Marie, one of the points that, or the cries that I hear quite a lot, is that we need to see and hear parents of children with disabilities speaking up a bit more. What are your thoughts about that? And are you involved with an organization?
I believe that they need to speak out a little bit more, to be honest. Because many times, even when I used to go to the Children's Development Center, which he still goes there sometimes, you will hear parents speak on the experiences that they have with dealing with the community, dealing with people in the family, even people that you will go to for assistance, whereas it comes to having a child with a disability. You will hear their cries and their complaints of how they're being treated and how they feel about what is being done to them. But they never come out and speak. They never want to come and say anything, nor speak out about what is going on in their life. And I believe that parents of children with disability need to speak out more, represent their children, represent themselves, say what it is that they want, because they are entitled to say what they need. And everybody has a right. And I believe that it is time that we as parents of children with disability to have a voice, an opinion on both the education and the lifestyle of our children, and try to make a difference, because there's something that can be changed. When I met you a couple of years ago, I really did not know half of what I know about disability. I was a young mother, and I was just going through emotions because there was nobody to talk to, nothing. It was like, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to tackle this? You know, how am I supposed to know my child's changing moods, what he's going to like, what he's going to be like, how to deal with him? Because you got to remember, you're not dealing with a normal child. So everything is going to be different. And I was young and I really did not know nothing about these things. In the beginning, it was a whole lot frustrating. But I met Patricia Palmer Blackmon, who is the president of the Barbados Organization of Parents of Disabled Children. And she has been helping me from the time I met her up to now, and giving me guidelines, because she's also a mother of a child with a disability. And it has been easy, like, even when I talk to her and say, you know what my son did today? This is what he did. And she would say, yes, you can expect that. So it was good to find some place that I could come and be comfortable, and I could speak to other parents and get pointers from them and ask questions and not feel like I have to bottle up everything inside, but a safe place where I could sit and express myself as a mother going through the things that I was going through. So it was really good to become a part of the organization.
Fabulous. And I think that you said it extremely beautifully. I would want to join my voice with yours and encourage parents, mothers, fathers, grandparents, aunties, uncles, who are caring for children, young adults, with disabilities to get involved with the organization. That's where strength will come, and that's where more changes will be able to come about as a result of more persons joining together to speak to the issues and really put everything together, you know, really promote and advocate. So, Anne-Marie, our time has really caught up with us. And I would want to say happy Mother's Day to you, your mom, your aunts, everyone around you. And to all the mothers who have children with disabilities, please pause a moment today and celebrate your motherhood, celebrate your children with disabilities, and really sing praises. I want to thank you very much, Anne-Marie, for being so open and so candid with me, because I believe in sharing your experiences, you too are helping other persons to become more comfortable and confident in becoming that mother that they need to be to their children with disabilities.
Thank you. It was a pleasure being here.
You have been listening to Visions with me, Yudeli Wickham Ashby, and my special guest, Anne-Marie Johnson. Remember, you can reach out to me on 1-246-269-9660 or 1-246-430-7300 and via email, visionsbarbados@gmail.com. That is visionsbarbados@gmail.com. And of course, you can check this and past episodes on the VOB929.com website. So until next week, be productive, stay safe, and love yourself as you love your neighbor.